All right, today I want to talk about a friend with benefits, a friend with benefits. Here we are. We're talking about this week, this year, our relationship, what's our theme?
Personal relationship
with God. So, there is a God that you need to know. There is a God that you need to know personally. Every person should have in their arsenal of relationships a relationship with God, a personal connected relationship with God. Why? Simply look at what he can do for you. Look at what he can do with you, through you, to you. This personal relationship with God gives you that. So I want to make an argument for belief. So for a lot of us, then we made this quasi-commitment sort of based on mom took us to church or with Sunday school or whatever. And of course, I mean, the natural thing would be you come up, get baptized or accept Jesus as your Savior, say the prayer. And you believe it, you know, why wouldn't you? Your mom believes it, your family believes it, and it sounds like a good thing to do. But here's what I want to warn you against. It becomes an action and activity, but it doesn't equate to your own personal volitional decision. And because of that, you miss out on the benefits of it. You're in a relationship with God or with Jesus based on somebody else's intentions, thoughts, or ideas. And so you never really are able to experience what it can do for you. So I want to talk about having this friend with benefits and try to encourage you to stop what I call semi-believing. Semi-believing, meaning halfway there or just kind of. And I know it's the case because semi-believers, you don't produce, and your struggle is greater than your, put it this way, your life of struggle is greater than your life of blessing. And that's powerful, mm-hmm. Because you, in other words, you have more trouble in your life than you have more advantages. And we've got to move from, and we do it, especially in our culture. I'm a sinner saved by grace. The Lord loves everybody. Yeah. And so you make acceptances for this lifestyle that is beneath God's standard. And you know he's going to forgive you. You know he's going to love you. And you get comfortable with it. But you miss out on the benefits or the advantage of knowing him. We talked about it last week about he has come to give you life and that more abundantly, right? So we miss out on that abundant living because we're quasi-Christians or semi-Christians, meaning we don't make those connections. So let me ask you this. Who else do you know that can raise the dead?
Nobody. Zilch.
Okay, you don't know anybody. Have you ever seen anybody raise the dead off their own strength? You don't know it. So we seek and we pursue relationships. This is important. Listen to this carefully. We seek and pursue relationships that are already like ours. Get it? We seek them because they are believable. In other words, I'll hang with you because I see that it works for you and it's believable and I'll do what you do. But if we were to hang with somebody, if we were to meet somebody, we met somebody who was a billionaire. They live a total different lifestyle. It's hard to believe you could live that way because you're not connected to that. It's hard to believe if we take it the other way, if we experience the homeless. It's hard to believe that people live that way. Why? Because that's not your experience. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. This is powerful what I'm saying. We believe more readily the things that are like us, the things that we experience the same. So if you're around a lot of drug addicts, it's believable that I could be a drug addict. If nobody in your family went to college, it's believable that you ain't going either. That you won't go as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you surround yourself with people who are different from you, what does that create? It creates exposure. That's a positive. But on the negative, what does it create?
On a negative?
If you're around people who are different from you or far off from you, how does that make you feel sometimes? Out of place, intimidated, awkward, right? And so it's hard for you to grasp those connections. And I've done it. How many of you have gone to dinner at a bougie place and, you know, they put 12 pieces of silverware in front of you? And or you go to the banquet and you've asked, I've heard it 1,000 times. Is that your glass or is that my glass? Which one is that your bread or is that this your napkin or that's money? We don't know what side it's on, right? So we are made to feel uncomfortable because we don't know table etiquette. We haven't been taught it. We haven't been trained it. So we're asking you to have a friend. We're asking you to connect with a friend who does the out of the ordinary. And so guess what? You don't believe it. You don't believe God can heal your knee or pay your rent from not having a job for a year. We don't believe it because most people we relate to have a job and they make it because they pay their rent every 30 days. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So I'm asking you to come in and start believing in a God who uses the last first, the first last. He takes the simple people and confound the wise. He takes situations where you don't have enough and then ends up where you have more than enough. And it's unbelievable, right?
Right.
It's incredulous because that's not our reality. Our reality is eat right, you'll be healthy. Get a job, pay your bills, right? Get a car, you got to get insurance. Have a child, got to take care of it. Our reality is based on what we believe. And then God then turns around and gives us situations and introduces this word that starts with an F. What is that?
Faith.
And says, trust me for no reason at all. I'm not giving you a blueprint. He told Abraham, go to a land that I will show you basically as you go. What's our reality if we're going somewhere?
Where are we going?
Directions, GPS, Google Maps. Before we even turn on the car, let me figure out where I'm going, right? That's our reality. But God says, then believe me, and I'll tell you as you go. It's unbelievable. So what's our tendency? We will not believe God, and what we'll do is sit at that computer and try to figure it out. And we're stuck with trying to figure out our lives because we really don't believe this friend. We don't have the benefits from that belief in a God that's unbelievable. We don't seek relationships with God to us because it's unbelievable. We need relationships that far exceed us. That's what we need. We need a friend who in here has a great personal relationship with somebody who is eons, light years beyond you in terms of career, status, money? You could call him right now and access him. Okay, pull yourself on out. I'll make you call him right now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Not a lot of us, right? We surround ourselves with what we're comfortable with. And I'm saying to you, why don't you study the Word of God? Why don't you study weekly or daily? Because reading it is unbelievable. But you'll read the news. You'll read Instagram. You'll read something posted on Twitter because it's relevant. It's active right now. The Bible is a whole history story. It's a story that it don't relate to me. Abraham's gone. I can't connect with it. But let somebody say something about your mama. You all in it, ain't you? You all, girl, did you see so-and-so? Did you blah, blah, blah? You all on the post. You all in the feed. Because that's your reality. But you won't pick up this book because it's not your reality. So we need to find people who are far above us and far beneath us. Like I said, the homeless experience was great. Why? So we can know how to be challenged. So we can know, watch this, so we can know where to aspire toward, and so we can know where to stay away from. But if you live in your own bubble, you will never know the reality, which means that you are naive to the fact that tomorrow you could be there homeless. As well, you're oblivious to the fact of the God who can do the suddenly. That all it takes is one phone call. All it takes is meeting one person who knows the hiring manager, who knows the person at the bank, who knows the realtor who can. Your problems today can be alleviated in an hour. But you don't believe that. Why? Because you've seen the struggle of your parents. You see the struggle of what they play on BET and on Central, Centric, thank you, and all these other, the predomination of all this, some of this negativity and the arguing and the love and all the people's, you know, they get on there to watch people fight and drink. And what do they call it? A reality show. Because they think that's your, that ain't my reality. I don't walk up in the place and start a fight and be fighting. It's not my reality. Do you get what I'm saying? But I'm abreast to it. I'm aware of it. I know what happens with it. But at the same time, so that I can know not to do it. And so sometimes as a parent, you may let your children see it and say, don't act that way. Now we don't need to watch it every day. I give you exposure to it, but now that's it. Are you with me? I'm trying to get, are you following me really? I'm talking about the reality we're comfortable with versus a non-reality which has benefits, but we're afraid of it because we can't connect with it. Are you understanding? Okay, so I'm going to preach. My goal this year, I'm going to preach to you until God is believable to you.
Wow. Amen.
I'm going to preach until God becomes believable to you. And so the conquest of God being believable to you enhances your personal relationship. Do you see what I'm saying? Why do I have you studying the book of John? Because the book of John keeps showing you miracle after miracle after miracle, trying to get people to what? Believe, believe, believe. And so I'm going to keep preaching to you these miracles, these fancy things that God has done, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of the dead, the turning water to wine, the healing the man by the poolside, giving sight to the blind, making people walk who couldn't walk. I'm going to keep preaching to you until you make his reality your reality.
Amen.
Because he is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
So don't read the book as if that was a long time ago. No, that is today. Amen. If he did it for Moses, he can do it for you, and you have a blockage. And I'm here to clear your blockage with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not religion. This is not about church. This is about a personal connection. We're not even in a church building. This is a hotel. So whatever church is got is, forget church. Personal relationship with God. Focus on that.
Amen.
Now, where your argument going to be with that? Well, I didn't like that. It ain't got nothing to do with what you didn't like at the church. It has to do with what you did with God. Don't tell me nothing about nobody else. Every time Republicans get called on the carpet about something, they point to the Democrats. Well, Democrats are there. Stop pointing to the choir. Stop pointing to deacons. Stop pointing to ushers. Stop pointing to the church. Stop pointing to the building. Stop pointing to stuff. Point to you. What was your response? You've been a Christian for 20 years, and you have no benefits from it. You cannot show the abundant life and the power from your giving. It's hard to believe a supernatural God. Watch this. It's hard to believe a supernatural God without supernatural experiences. Why would you run, Lori, to believe in God and you haven't seen him do supernatural things for you? I'm not excited. I'm not eager to come to church. He ain't doing it for me. That's a great story, PC. That's a great story. That was amazing how Peter walked on that water. It's great. Shanda, haka, yeah. Yep. When's the last time I walked on water, though?
Amen.
You get what I'm saying?
All right.
Amen. You're telling me this. Oh, he'll bless you. He'll open up the windows of heaven. Woo! That was a great sermon. I like the way you put that together, PC. But he ain't opening the windows for heaven for me. The problem is not with God doing it. The problem is with your belief and your relationship with him. Amen. He will do it. He will do it. And I'll say it again. He will do it.
Amen.
If you believe him, if you get your relationship right with him, and a good relationship with him, yes, it means cutting ties with other stuff. Amen. And if you ain't ready, you ain't ready. But don't blame the church and don't blame God on your unreadiness.
Amen.
I'm going to preach it until you believe it. It's been working for me. I'm a young man. I started this as a young man. And I'm excited about where I am in God right now. I'm not perfect, but there's some stuff I get proud. I just say no to. I'll be like, yeah. That was a struggle 10 years ago or 30 days ago. I can't make that mistake. Why? Because my personal relationship with God is demanding it. It's fueling my choices. And you've got to get a relationship that's good enough for you to believe it. Not just talk it. Yeah, I go to church. Oh, I have great church. A great pastor. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord, hallelujah. But I don't believe it. Come and go to church with me. Come and go to church with me. Because I don't believe it. Come get it for yourself because I can't give it to you. You got to come get it from my pastor. No, the church of the living God is right there where you are with that person. You are in church if you are in my presence. Woo! Help me. Help me through here. Ooh, don't mess around. I'll sing a song. I'll be the choir. And I'll escort you to your seat if you need to. I'll serve you. I'll wash your feet. I'll break out. We'll go to the store, get some crackers and some grape juice. I'll serve you communion.
Amen.
Right there. Woo! How many of you ever had communion in the parking lot in your car with a coworker? You better get real. They will never come to your church. But will they come to your car? Woo! Get you a little package. Get you a little communion set. Keep it in your drawer. And just stash. And bring them to church. Woo! God! Woo! Have a scripture ready that you know, that you've learned, you've rehearsed all week. That's why you ain't ready. You ain't even read the Bible all week. Can't take church to nobody. You gotta ask them to come to church. Because you can't be. Woo! Help me through here. What type of benefits did Lazarus, Martha, and Mary have by personally knowing Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you that.
All right?
I'm going to give it to you. The first benefit is this. They could get to him. What's the benefit of knowing somebody? And as I said, a couple people raise their hands, they know somebody who's far off of them, right? Could you pick up the cell phone and call them right now? Now, Magic Johnson has a platform. Barack Obama has a platform. These are some notable names. Could you pick up the phone and call Barack Obama right now?
No.
Then you don't have. As amazing as Barack is, as amazing as Michelle Obama is, we don't even have access to them. But neither of them can do what Jesus can. And our trouble is we try to make friends with more people who can do the same as we can than with people who can do more than we can. Woo! Come on, black people, African American culture in the hood. Let us seek out people who are beyond us. Let us look beyond the proliferation of ignorance or status quo or being able to just read. Let me give you a good example. Let me tell you this. There are some audiences that if I went to preach to, I would be limited in how I could make the presentation. If I went to another audience, I could preach to that audience and I could do more in my presentation because they are able to receive it, adapt it, understand it. This group can't. So my ministry is impacted by the people who receive it. Even Jesus said a prophet is without honor in his own land because his own people couldn't believe it. And I'm preaching to who? Who am I preaching? I'm preaching to my own people. And I can't get my own people to believe it. Why? Because I grew up with them. And people don't understand that sometimes you select a different target audience on purpose because I would have greater success with them than I would with my own. Oh, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, you can apply that to church preaching, you can apply it to your personal relationship, the choices of friends you make. Listen to what I'm saying. You preach to them, Cheyenne, every day, all week, every day. You tell your friend the same thing 18 times. You tell another friend on the other side of the corner one time. They got it.
Amen.
Come on. Because a lot of times people say, well, you tell me to get my hair done because you don't even keep your own hair done. People won't believe what you won't do. What you won't believe. So how are you preachers when you don't possess the benefits? You don't have access. They could get to him. The text said it like this. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Notice the term who you love implies what?
Relationship.
Right? Whom you love is sick. So she sent word to him, which meant she has
access.
I can get to him. Woo! Who can you get to who can better your situation? Why call people who are at the same level you are? That's your entire friend base. You can find out where you are. Listen to this carefully. You can find out where you are by understanding where you've been recently and felt most comfortable. Add to your agenda places where you feel uncomfortable. And I guarantee you, your uncomfortableness in your human life will help you be more comfortable with the extraordinariness of God. Because if you push through higher up people, you will push through a higher up God.
Amen.
Because, listen, ain't nothing like somebody paying your school tuition. And you say, oh, that's unbelievable. I can't believe. Thank you. Thank you so much for putting me through school. If it's possible now for you to believe that somebody could actually pay your tuition, guess what? You can look at God and say, oh, I can't believe that you actually healed me from cancer.
Amen.
Do you get what I'm saying? This is a powerful message. This is a powerful message. They could get to him. They could get to him. They knew where he was. And when you trust God, you can get to him. But he, listen, did he come right away?
Nope.
And he may not come when you want him to. But I guarantee you, he got the message.
Amen.
He got the message. And if he delays, it's for a reason. But my personal relationship, I'm trying to get you, my personal relationship demands that I know, precious, that I know he got the message. Mm-hmm. Yeah? My personal relationship, that's what I'm saying. Once you start experiencing God doing stuff for you that don't make sense, it starts becoming natural. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm just going to trust him again this month like I did last month. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. I'm working every day, and I'm paying my bill, doing my job. I keep putting in for a higher up raise, a promotion. He ain't gave it to me yet, but I know I need more money. I don't need you to tell me every day I need more money. I didn't ask God. That's on his list to do. I know I keep trusting. I keep praying. I keep asking him, and petitioning the pastor keeps saying, ask. And you're going to get, there must be a reason for a delay.
Amen.
But I know he's going to bring it to me. God never put me in a house that I can't pay for. Never put me in a car that I can't drive and pay for. Never put me in a situation that I can't provide for. God would never throw you out like that. Amen. Say, trust me, believe me, put you in a business venture and then not back you up. That's insane.
Amen.
All right, they could get to him. Can I go to the next one? All right, I'm going to be finished in a minute. Then I only got four. Listen, they could get to him. The second one is, they could get him. Read it with me. They could get him to attendance. Friends with benefits have access, number one. But friends with benefits have perfect attendance. Come on, somebody say, perfect.
Perfect.
Listen. You don't go to nobody. You don't have a go-to that don't show up.
Amen.
What's the point of a go-to when they don't?
Amen.
That's not my go-to. If they don't, Andrew, if they don't come, that's not your go-to. Listen, that's not your go-to. Jesus is a person who has perfect. Woo! Like I said, he may not come when you want him to, but he will always show up. So the text said it like this. Let me give you the text. The text said, this he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go, notice, I go so that I may awake him out of sleep. Notice the term, I go. Jesus is coming. Look at your marriage. If you have a personal relationship and if you believe together, Jesus is coming. Look at your job and your financial situation. If you have a personal relationship, you have access to the bank of heaven, then you realize a transaction is a coming. If you have a health issue, your body is racking with pain, somehow, some way, God is delaying the healing, but healing is coming. You know why sometimes I look at people and immediately I feel sad because they may be handicapped or challenged in some way, but then I smile at the fact, because I'm going to tell you right now, when God comes, in his full glory. When we get to heaven, ain't gonna be nobody on canes. Ain't gonna be no crippled nothing. Ain't gonna be no cancer, no leukemia, nothing. Ain't gonna be no cataract eyes, alopecia, hair, lupus. Ain't gonna be nothing up there. Everybody's gonna be healed. So somebody who's walking like this, when they get to heaven, they're gonna be walking like this. And so I shout because I say, you know what, God? You sure is bad. They walking around with a cripple or some situation, a challenge right now. But God, if they get saved, you have have the power to heal everybody. And so if the handicapped person or the mentally challenged person can find a way to find faith in Jesus Christ, hang on, child of God, because you're here. It may not happen on this side, but I guarantee you, healing is coming. Amen. Amen. So I stopped getting mad and I stopped crying all day. Because the people I saw on the street yesterday, I know have hope. And it's funny how we were serving ice cream on the street, but in the background, I could hear the preacher preaching to the people inside the chapel. And I was saying, look how we hold it. Look here, the gospel is down here with ice cream. We're serving ice cream, but gospel's being preached. That's what I'm saying. You could be at the mall at Nordstrom shopping, but the gospel is with me too. You could be basketball. You're on the court just shooting. Slam dunk, pow, doing your thing, but the gospel is with me. What has happened to me now, this too shall pass. God has a promise, God has a plan for my life, and the victory is already mine. Somebody shout victory. 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 It's already yours. It's already yours. But you know why you're unhappy? You know why you're struggling? Because your personal relationship is whack, which means that you don't believe the stuff you see and read. You can't connect with it. So they told him they could get him to come. I know how to get Jesus to come. That's why they call for the elders. They say, if any of you sick among you, let him call for the elders and let the elders pray. Why? Because the inference is the elders can get him to. Woo! Who can you call to get him to? Woo! Woo! Help me through here. Oh, when I call him, he answers. The Bible says, while I'm yet speaking, he has already heard me and help is on. We'll see it later. We'll see it later. Jesus said it like this. He said, Father, he said, I know you always hear me, but I got to speak loud, audibly, so they can know that I called on you. They need to see that I can get you to. Woo! That's why sometimes I pray aloud for people. So you know I prayed for his knee. I prayed for him to get well. So that while he's limping now, 6 months from now, when he walk in here without it, guess what happens? That visibility makes reality the prayer I prayed 6 months ago. And now you might believe. You may say, pray for me, Pastor Jerry. Amen. But you don't ask me to pray for you now because you don't believe. You lay hands on people and pray for people who have the faith to match your gift. Ooh, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. People come through the line all the time. They get anointed and they walk away the same way. Because they joined the line because everybody else was. But there's some people like the woman with the issue of blood who said, if I can just touch. Woo, and the beauty of that story is that Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Somebody else. And while he was on his way, the woman reached down, touched him, and he turned around and said, who touched me? And the disciple said, preacher, Jesus, master, it's all kind of people around here. Anybody could have touched. He said, no, this touch had virtue come out of me. In other words, her faith matched my power. Woo! And when you come to church, you ought to come hungry enough with a faith that matches the power of the word I'm given. I want to find about 15 people who will enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. I want to find some people who are eager and hungry enough to be waiting at the door before I get here. Woo, because when you're hungry. Oh, and me and Joy, we were so thirsty yesterday. Oh, we were so thirsty after we. Woo, We went straight to the mall. We couldn't find a drink fast enough. We sitting up there arguing with the man. Is this refills? They said 75 cents. We said, it ain't free. We trying to hustle the Burger King man for some punch. We were so thirsty. I mean, look, we passed a bunch of restaurants in the food court. Why? Because the line was too long. You get what I'm saying? There's some stuff you can't wait for. When you come to church, you ought to be saying the line is too. I got to sit right up front. I got to be early enough. I got to be right there when pastor bring the blessing. Amen. Amen. But no, we're too casual about our Christianity. It don't matter. Get there when I get there. Do what I do when I do it. Read the Bible when I read it. Pray when I got the time. Too casual. You ain't serious. I wish we would have walked through that food court saying, well, we'll get some drink when we get some drink. Dying of thirst. No. They could get him to come. Third one. They could get him to feel. They could get him to feel. Friends with benefits have affection for one another, right? If I'm your friend and we personal, guess what? And I call you and I'll be like, dog, I just got jumped. I just got beat up. Somebody just stole my car. The person I call is going to feel the trouble I'm in, and their response is going to be based on their affection. So friends with benefits have access. Friends with benefits get attendance, but friends with benefits also get affection, which means Jesus was affected by Martha and Mary's. Wouldn't you like to have somebody who was a rich bazillionaire who, when you called him and told him you needed some bread, that they were affected by your problem and respond, get them some bread. Do you hear me? Jesus responds when you pray and he sees you're struggling. He responds not just out of godly duty. He responds with feeling. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all ways have been tempted as we were, yet remained without sin. That's your Bible. So what did the text say? And said, where have you laid him? And that's what he said. Where have you laid him? Where did you lay Lazarus? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And you know why they said come and see? Because the second point is friends with benefits can get him to what? To come. That's right. So they can say, come over. How many of you can call God and say, come over? Mostly God would say, the billionaire would say, come to my office. You're going to miss it. I'm going to run around this church. Woo! That most times the rich people make you come to them. Woo! But God said, I'll come to woo! I'll come to you. Woo! Jesus. I will come to your hood. I will come to your crib. I will come to your dirty house. I will come to your weed smelling house, to where your liquor is behind the bar. I'll come. I'll come. I'll come where you're cussing and you're arguing. I'll come. I'll come where you're lying and sleeping and fornicating. I'll come. I'll come where you're cheating on your taxes. I'll come. I'll come where you're hiding money and stealing stuff from your job on the slide. I'll come. Why? Because I'm your friend and I got benefits for you. We have a relationship. He said, come and see. But the Bible said, and I feel it right now, it's coming up in me what the Bible say. Shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Jesus. What was he crying for, children? What was he crying for? Why? 36 said, so the Jews were saying, see, how he loved him. When I cry, he cries. When I struggle, he struggles. The Bible says when Jesus responded, he was moved with compassion. They can get to him. They can get him to come. They can get him to feel. And didn't I say earlier, how many people make choices based on feeling? Oh. Sometimes I know what the rules say. I know what the legalities are. But if you can get people, oh God, have you ever seen somebody in court pleading their case with the judge? And if the judge let them talk long enough, their words get past their ears and get in their heart, and the judge will make a ruling in spite of what the legal rules say. The judge will dismiss the case because you had the power to make them feel your issue. When you pray, do you only pray for 30 seconds and just get a word out to say, you know, I need your help, Lord? You ain't make him feel it. But stay there a while and break the case down. Come on, I bet you can sing Michael Jackson's song. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Down, 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 down. Do you pray long enough till the song comes on? Can you feel it? No, you ain't got time to pray. But you want everybody to feel what you feeling. You want your husband to feel what you feel. You want your wife to feel. You want your boss to feel the pain you're going through by getting these projects. If it's too many projects, you want them to feel it, don't you? You want everybody to feel your problem. You want your mama to feel your problem. You want your friends to feel your problem, but you won't communicate it with God until he feels it. All right, I got to go. Time is up. My last one. It ain't gonna do no good if I can get to you. I can get you to come and I can get you to feel it. But you don't do nothing. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So a friend with benefit. Friends with benefits take action. Somebody say action. Lord, I need you to do something. Yes, sir, Andrew. Yes, sir. I need you to do something, right? Huh? What would Jesse Jackson say? Push, pray until something. Oh, yeah. Until something happens, right? Oh, I need something to. And that's where you fall short. You pray, but nothing happened. You come to church, but nothing happened. You try to be on Bible study every now and then, but nothing happened. You try to do, you know, your little part, but nothing happened. You gave your $5, but nothing happened. You tried to be faithful, and you did it for a month. You gave your little $7.50. You splurged one Sunday and gave $10, thought you was really doing something, and nothing happened. But you got to keep giving until something. Woo! I tell you before, I told you, Joyce, I would say, we're going to keep giving. Or we ain't got no money. We're going to keep. Yes, we're going to keep giving. Why? Because if you keep giving, God will give back to you. What? Pressed down. What? Shaken together. What? Running over in me. Whoa, you don't know the Bible. You're not. Listen, I'm telling you, if you do what God asks you to do, he will expedite it, and he will qualify it and quantify it with his great exponential multiplication of it. Yes, he will. You got to get him to get action. So what happened, folks? As we conclude on this, when he had said these things, when I got the message to him, when I knew he was coming, when I had him feeling, Jesus said, he cried out with a loud voice. Oh, it's something when you do all the talking for the first 30 minutes, but then the Lord speaks. That's why you got to come to church till the Lord speaks. You got to stay in that relationship till the Lord speaks. You got to stay at that job till the Lord speaks, because he's going to do something. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Remember the question I gave you? Remember this? I gave you. How many people do you know who have the power to raise the dead? There's only one. And I came to ask you today, do you have a personal relationship with him? So that if something dies in your house, can you get to him? Can you get him to come? Can you get him to feel it so he can come and take action? That he will walk in your house and say, Lazarus, come forth. And some commentators say that he had to say his name, because if he just said, come forth, every dead thing around him would have got up. You thought Thriller was something. They would have been, bones would have been, they would have been doing the Thriller. Ooh. So he had to say Lazarus, and that's why God knows. He's personal enough. He knows your name. Cherry is calling. Cherry is praying. Breath of Change has a need. Alicia is calling. She's hurting right now. I feel a pain. You're not a general number. You're not a stat. You're not a coupon. You're a person that he loves. And he comes and he will take action for your situation. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said the man who died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, okay, you want to be stubborn to the stubborn problem. You got up, but you were still wrapped up. He got up, but he was still bound. So he said, for the stubborn stuff, because some folk won't leave just because you say leave. They going to say, I'm leaving. Wait. I heard you. Sometimes God will raise it, but you got a few stubborn stragglers. Tap your name and say, get rid of the stubborn stragglers. Let God. What does he have to say? He said, all right, you up now, but now I got to unbind. I got to unwrap you like a mummy. I'm going to get dizzy. I'm going to crash. I got to unwrap you. He says, loose him and what? Let him go. He will take you, see me, he will lift you, but then he will loose you. Ah, I need God to lift me, but I need him to loose me. Well, okay. Well, you know, they could get to him. They got him to do the action. And I just want to leave you with the fact that this is all based on relationship. The only way this happened was because Martha and Mary knew Jesus. The Bible says this was the Mary who anointed his feet. That's how they got acquainted. She took the oil, the spikenard, and with her hair got down at his feet. Let me tell you the words of Janet Jackson. What have you done for him lately? But you want the benefits. That's why it's called friends with benefits. Quid pro quo. You do some things for me, I'll do some things. Let me tell you something. Hebrews tells it, the Lord is not slack or unwavering to forget your labor of love. He said he knows what you did. So like yesterday when we served the people, it was hot and people it was complaining. We sweating. Oh, I never sweat like this. Oh, I got sweat all down my legs, all on my body. Oh, I'm sweating. Small price to pay for the blessing God's going to give you. The sweat that's coming down. Watch. Well, you wouldn't complain if the blessing came down like sweat all down your body, would you? You're not going to complain about that. Oh, the sweat is healing my joint. Oh, the sweat healed my arthritis. Oh, the sweat healed my cancer. You'd be thankful for the sweat. putting you. But you're mad at the sweat because the sweat ain't doing nothing for you. It's making you uncomfortable. You got to learn to live with the sweat for a while until the sweat turns into the blessing. Because the same Jesus who was in the gardens praying, saying, Lord, let this cup pass from me, sweat like drops of blood were falling down on him. But the same Jesus who was in the garden got up off the cross and said, all power, both in heaven and in earth, is given unto me. You got to wait for your power. Sweat now, but power is coming. Oh, I wish I was preaching so people know that Bible. I wish it. Whoa, y'all should be standing on your feet running around this room if you knew what this power I'm talking about. Yeah. You learn how to live uncomfortable. You learn how to live in that one-bedroom apartment. You learn how to drive that bucket. You learn how to live with that food for a little while. You learn how to be at that job and deal with that stuff. You know it's unfair, but blessing is coming. Why? Because you've got a friend with. I'm out of time. That's all I got. Never mind. That's all I got. I'm PC. That's all I got. I hope you got something from it.